upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings. This is Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Today is April 18, 2019. We're going to attack our stories backwards today, starting out with Africa gets smart housing while buried in poverty. This has been a pet peeve of mine for many years, that Africa is the poster child of poverty in the world. I'm not sure that it should be, but it is, and the United Nations has made it so. And so when the United Nations created its Sustainable Development Goals, the first goal that it had, number one, was end poverty in all its forms. So they're pledged to end poverty everywhere in the world, and they look at Africa in particular as the poster child of poverty, and they say they want to help people lift them out of poverty. But the question is, do they really do anything to lift them out of poverty? I say no. This is a shame, too, because the people in Africa are just as much people as we are in America or anywhere else in the United Kingdom or in China, anywhere else. People are people. And the people in Africa deserve just as much freedom to pursue life, liberty, and happiness as we do, even though they don't live under the same constitution, of course. But in this story, while the UN has pledged to end poverty in all its forms, they're providing not energy, property rights, or capital. They're providing now 3D printed housing made from waste products. What a great use of technology. Going to rescue the world by printing 3D housing made from waste products. In spite of all the hoopla, I expect that many Africans are scratching their head over this one. A lot of them would rather just have clean water running on a regular basis in their communities. They probably would like to have actual energy via transmission lines instead of solar panels that only work during the daytime and provide minuscule amounts of energy to run their smartphones. I have a feeling they'd like other things other than 3D printed housing made from waste products. But still, here's what the article says. Africa is urbanizing fast as its population grows and many flock to cities in search of jobs, education, and healthcare. Studies show that hundreds of millions of more Africans will live in cities over the next three decades. And by the way, that is an assumption that cannot be relied upon. It may happen to some extent, but it's not reliable. It goes on to say, many of these new urban Africans, however, are likely to end up in informal settlements. Already an estimated 200 million Africans live in informal settlements, often without access to energy and sanitation. Well, isn't it interesting? The article itself says, often without access to energy and sanitation. What a novel idea. How about let's give them energy and sanitation? I think that might do a lot to pull many Africans out of poverty right there. Energy and sanitation. Well, the United Nations and UNEP have been meddling in Africans' affairs for so many years. This is just one more example of where they fall short. They miss the whole point of what they're supposed to be doing in Africa and instead throw them little meat scraps like 3D printed housing made from waste products. Well, it's not much we can do about it in America, but it is unfortunate that America pays most of the bill to fund the United Nations to do projects like this. The next story is related to our last one a little bit, but Google, you might remember, has had a massive interest in laying fiber optic cable all over the country. Actually, its parent company, Alphabet, has a subsidiary where that's their primary business, is installing fiber optic cable. So they've done it in many cities across the country, and they've offered fiber optic cable services to consumers and businesses, and that's been welcome in those communities. They've come to rely on it in many communities. But now Google has decided to abandon its fiber optic business. But there's a problem. They left a big mess in a lot of these cities. They dug up streets. They dug up people's yards. They laid fiber optic cable all over the place, and now it has to come out. So Google is now paying cities to restore their infrastructure. It's going to cost them a lot of money, by the way. Of course, it's money that Alphabet and Google have. They got plenty of cash. But Google now has seen the light on 5G communication technology, and they realize that fiber optic cable is just simply no longer needed because 5G will provide almost the same speed and require no buried infrastructure at all. Now, having said that, we must realize that fiber optic cable is really the ultimate solution to high-speed, non-intrusive, non-invasive technology that will not harm humans because it's all contained in the cable. There's no radiation that emits from a fiber optic cable. There are risks with 5G communication, but that doesn't concern anybody at this point. The technology has been released, and it's going to be installed and rolled out, and American citizens, cities, counties, etc., will have very little to say about it. It's a fait accompli. Anyway, Google is in a fiasco right now, digging all this stuff out, paying cities to restore their infrastructure, and I seriously doubt that they will deal with all the hubris that they've created, and many cities just going to be left in the lurch. The third story is much more serious. The Trump administration recently held a press conference at which they stated that the 5G rollout is a race that America must win. Must win. The article starts out, President Donald Trump and the FCC on Friday, that was last Friday, announced several initiatives to spur 5G network growth in the United States. Quote, says Trump, the race to 5G is on and America must win. He noted that 92 5G markets will be ready by the end of the year, outpacing South Korea, which is on a pace to have 48 markets live by the end of 2019. He goes on to say, it's a race our great companies are now involved in. According to some estimates, the wireless industry's plans to invest $275 billion in 5G networks, creating 3 million American jobs quickly, and adding $500 billion to our economy. The article goes on then, 5G is the next generation of wireless network that will enable faster data speeds. Unlike 4G LTE, which mainly targeted mobile phones, tablets, and computers, 5G is also expected to enable more reliable connections on self-driving vehicles, now we're getting down to it, and will need a constant data connection, and smart cities that use, quote, Internet of Things devices, such as connected street lamps, traffic lights, and more. Trump went on to say, quote, to accelerate and incentivize these investments, my administration is freeing up as much wireless spectrum as needed. We're moving the regulatory barriers to the build-out of networks. The FCC is taking very bold action, bolder than they've ever taken before, to make wireless spectrum available. Trump's comments come in tandem with announcements the FCC made Friday. They announced all the specific spectrums that are going to be opened up for bidding, and we can see that the race is on. Now, granted, President Trump is undoubtedly one of the most competitive presidents that we've ever had in the history of our country. Anything, it has two parties pitted against each other. Trump will jump into the race and seek to win it. He's driven to win. He sees this as a race. This has been sold to him as a race. Well, if it's a race, of course, America needs to win. So the race is on. The FCC has pulled out all the stops to prevent states, counties, and cities from blocking 5G rollout. And the FCC has an undue influence from the outside by the same tech giants that are seeking to benefit from the rollout of 5G. American public has very little to say in any of this, even through their own legislators. This is an administration effort at this point, and there's very little scrutiny coming from anywhere else. The problem with this is the entire data privacy issue and consumer privacy issue has never yet been resolved, even on the smallest matters, even just on website collection of data. So as a result, data is being collected on Americans already, mostly without their knowledge or understanding, and then sold to other people that can be weaponized to turn around and use back against them. Europe is having some of these discussions right now. Not that Europe is anything special. The EU is really just a bunch of technocrats trying to socially engineer their entire region. But Europe is at least having some of these discussions about data privacy. America's had none, virtually none. And now 5G is going to be rolled out on top of it, which is just going to explode the data collected across America. A data explosion is what we're looking at. And I want to read a couple of pages out of my book, The Hard Road to World Order, that is Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order. From page 129, the chapter is Living in a Fishbowl. The subtitle here is Smart Cities Are Special. I want you to understand what's at stake with smart city technology and why 5G is essential for smart city technology to be rolled out across America. And this is not the only part of the story, but this is an important one. This first quotation is taken from Privacy International from the UK, a study called Case Study, Smart Cities and Our Brave New World. This is a direct quote. Smart cities raise a series of problems. First of all, the right to privacy is entirely redefined in a smart city as they create an environment where we are no longer expected to consent to the collecting, processing, and sharing of our data. But instead, the minute we step in the streets, we are exposed to both government and corporate surveillance. And not only is there no opting out, but more likely than not, you will not even know that data about you is being collected. Close quote. I go on to write here now. Smart cities are being inundated with technology way beyond just biometric camera systems. Driven by big tech, cities are adopting sensor technology that will measure every aspect of city life. Sensors are being built into light poles, street corners, bus and train stops, public service vehicles and neighborhoods. Smart grid technology monitors all usage of electricity, natural gas, and water. Smart buildings are being retrofitted with sensors that monitor everything that happens on every floor, from person movement to elevators to air conditioning. Collectively, this adequately showcases the so-called, quote, Internet of Things that will come to life as 5G wireless technology is rolled out. In fact, the IoT is smart city technology. IoT, Internet of Things, sometimes called the Internet of Everything, literally connects everything into a single database with multiple viewing angles. To all of the things mentioned above, add smartphones, laptop computers, routers, credit or debit card readers, store transactions, items tagged with RFID chips, and so on. Most smart city designers have worried about the one thing that could block their implementation efforts. Now listen, I'll read that again. Most smart city designers have worried about the one thing that could block their implementation efforts, the lack of connectivity. This risk is completely nullified with the new 5G wireless communication standard that will be fully rolled out to America by the end of 2019. 5G is far more than just a smartphone carrier. It will allow any physical device to be data integrated at speeds approaching that of fiber optic. 5G is 23 times faster than 4G technology, approaching 50 gigabytes per second. However, the real breakthrough in 5G has to do with latency, or the turnaround time needed to initiate a transfer. With 4G, typical latency is 50 milliseconds. 5G turns the same packet around in 1 millisecond. This is an improvement of 50 times. When the IoT is fully enabled with 5G technology, the entire data feed no matter how large, will be instantaneous. Thus, today's AI supercomputers will be able to model the entire city's activity in real time. Now, this is not science fiction. This is technology that's in place right now, waiting for the rollout of the 5G connectivity system. I need to continue now with another topic called geospatial intelligence, or GEOINT, G-E-O-I-N-T, geospatial intelligence, because this comes to play in smart city implementation as well. I wrote, "The drive to smart city transformation entails all of the above-mentioned technology into a relatively new discipline called geospatial intelligence, or GEOINT, and it is being used extensively in attempting to manage hordes of people in urban environments. GEOINT was originally conceived as a discipline by the U.S. military for military purposes of, quote, mastering the human domain, close quote, on the battlefield. The term was coined in 2011 by former Director of National Intelligence, here we go, Lieutenant General James Clapper. At the time, he was the head of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency in Springfield, Virginia. Wow. Basically, GEOINT encompasses all aspects of imagery, and it's very complicated, very complex discipline for sure. GEOINT is closely related to traditional concepts of geography, where all immovable features and objects in the landscape are mapped. Such fixed mapping allows us to reliably get from point A to B on a consistent basis. Neither point A or B are expected to change locations. In a much broader context, GEOINT attempts to factor in all movable objects, including cars, trucks, and airplanes, and most importantly, humans. Humans are never in the same place for very long, especially in modern society. GEOINT literally maps the entire human domain and overlays it onto traditional mapping systems. By tracking the location of all people in the targeted system, they quickly subdivide into naturally associated groups and networks. Now, remind you, this is a discipline developed for the military and has been in use in the Middle East now, especially in Afghanistan and Iraq. This is proven technology that's being now brought back and fit into the context of smart city technology. These could represent any group, such as a friend or family network, social groups, religious affiliations, political meetings, etc. When you observe people long enough with enough detail, not only do their personal patterns emerge, but also their relationships to the groups to which they belong are soon observed to follow their own patterns. What GEOINT attempts to do is locate the behavioral anomalies that would warrant closer analysis. The problem is, this demands knowledge of all normal behavior patterns and thus the total surveillance of all people. On the battlefield, for instance, imagine our military carefully watching a suspected enemy cell that might launch an attack. As long as normal patterns are observed, there's no alarm. But when a few of the members stray outside those patterns, it would indicate something unusual is happening. If those outliers were seen amassing ammunition, for instance, it would set off alarm bells. Thanks to data-hungry technocrat social engineers, civilian populations all over the world are now coming under the microscope of geospatial tracking and analysis, or GEOINT. The smart city initiatives in America would be instantly regurgitated by cities if citizens understood that, quote, mastering the human domain, close quote, has them playing the part of the human domain to be mastered. Notably, the field of GEOINT has grown so fast that 17 universities now have degree or certificate programs available, including Penn State, University of North Carolina, University of Maryland, University of Utah, University of Southern California, Johns Hopkins, George Mason, University of Texas, and University of Missouri. Many of these programs are a subsidiary of the geography departments but with a crossover to information technology. One prominent GEOINT pioneer is Dr. Jeremy E. Dobson, Emeritus Professor of Geography at the University of Kansas, former Distinguished Research Fellow at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, and President of the American Geographical Society. Since the field of GEOINT was defined in 2011, Dobson has been considered a pioneer. However, even before GEOINT was defined as a discipline, Dobson wrestled with the ethical issues of his own field of geographic information systems. In 2003, 8 years before General Clapper's declaration of GEOINT, Dobson wrote a paper with colleague Peter F. Fisher titled "Geoslavery." Okay, now let's get the context here. This is a pioneer of geospatial intelligence, an esteemed professor and mover and shaker in this world, wrote an article called "Geoslavery," in which he wrote, and I quote directly, "Human tracking devices, however, introduce a new potential for real-time control that extends far beyond privacy and surveillance per se. As a result, society must contemplate a new form of slavery characterized by location control. Geoslavery now looms as a real, immediate, and global threat." Close quote. I continue. "Society has failed to contemplate geoslavery, even though it has had ample opportunity and reason to do so, concluding that geoslavery is, quote, the ultimate fulfillment of George Orwell's Big Brother nightmare. They note that, instead of watching 20 or 30 people at a time, location-based services can monitor thousands or even millions simultaneously. Today, as in China, we could raise the count into the billions." So you see the problem, my friends. 5G is bringing to us a disruptive technology that could turn the world upside down. And in fact, it fully intends to. Putting these kinds of tools into the hands of technocrats can only lead in one direction, that is, toward scientific dictatorship. If you haven't had an opportunity yet to pick up a copy of Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, or my previous book, Technocracy Rising, I would encourage you to go over to technocracy.news and pick up a copy. It's also available on amazon.com, and there's also a Kindle version available there as well. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Have a great day.